You're listening to a recorded talk from Greenbelt Festival.
Are we ready for the Vandal Factory? Brilliant. Love that enthusiasm. Before we get started, it's worth saying a few things. They are live recording this podcast, so just know you're being recorded. But also, if there are any sensitive areas in this podcast, we do have festival wellbeing around if you do feel the need to speak to them. But with all that being said, please welcome Henry and Natalie from the Vandal Factory podcast.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Greenbelt.
Hello, everyone.
I always feel like a rock star when I'm running out here, like, woohoo! Hello, Greenbelt. Thank you so much for turning up. Look at all of you. You have nowhere better to be. Are you kidding?
It's because Beans on Toast has finished his set. So everyone's like, oh, we'll just go here.
If you don't know who we are, my name's Natalie Quatermass.
And I'm Henry Raby.
And together we are Vandal Factory.
That's right, folks. We have a podcast that's about art and activism. We talk to musicians and theatre makers and poets and knitters and plant makers all about the things that in the world make them angry and make them hopeful.
And that's helpful because the theme of Greenbelt is, of course, hope in the making. Are you feeling hopeful?
Maybe. There's a maybe. Understandable dwindling of hope. It never dies, but it can dwindle, the old hope. Something we talk about over and over again to all our guests and gorgeous people that we get to talk to is, how's your hope and how is your anger? These are the two fuels that keep artists and activists and all humans going in the world, trying to make the world a better place. So, Henry... We're coming to you first.
I'm letting them know.
Give me notes live on stage, honestly. We are going to come and ask you how your hope and how your anger is. So get the old cogs a-whirring and think about something, maybe from the festival, that's given you hope or making you really angry. While you're thinking about that, I'm going to ask Henry now, how's your hope? How's your anger?
I'm pretty angry. For the listeners at home, 1,000 people cheered at that. That was 1,000 people.
Can we just do that one more time and we'll edit it in?
So where we live in East Leeds, there is a hotel that houses refugees. And for the fifth time in a week, the far right have been turning up and intimidating, bullying, harassing, probably planning worse. That's making me pretty angry. Can I get a boo for the far right? I've been at Greenbelt. I'm feeling really guilty that last night I was here having a boogie to Nadine Shah instead of being there and being loud and present. But I know that my hope is that there are friends who are there who are saying, we will not be intimidated. People are welcome in our community. We're not backing down and the racists can just go and get in the sea. Have a little paddle. Think about what they've done and change their views when I say get in the
Absolutely.
Sea.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of getting in the sea, this is my hope to contribute to Henry's rage. My hope is that I work with a group of refugees who do a drama group once a week in the middle of East Leeds. We have people from all over the world in this group of 15 to 20 people, and they arrive. I don't need to tell you what these people's lives are like and the reality of what they're having to do. But this group of adults arrive for the 90-minute session already laughing as they come through the door because they know that this is the 90 minutes where they get to play. And this is people from Nigeria, Zimbabwe, India, Pakistan, Iran, like all over. We've got at least 8 different languages being spoken and often like translating from one language to another into English and all sorts going on in the room. And people enter that room not only ready to play, but going, hello, family, hello. And there's people that embrace each other who've never spoken the same language. But what they have done is played together once a week over the course of a couple of years. And talking of the sea, we went and did a trip to Scarborough. And it was the best day of my summer. It was 15 of us arrived at the train station at Leeds and at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I've got grown adults fizzing with excitement. We were singing on the train. Half of them had never been to a British seaside before. Most of them had never been to Scarborough. It was a brilliant, beautiful day. The tide was coming in. We had ice cream on the shore. It was fabulous. And it was so busy in Scarborough, but everyone was chatting to different people, playing with children in the sand. We got a bit lost. It was chaos. People, local people chatting and telling us, oh, you want to go get that bus down there? No, what you want is the 4C. Get out there. You'll Barry the driver. He'll let you know, right? It was beautiful. It was a thing of beauty because people are good.
People are good.
People are good. And the joy and the hope will keep us going. That was our hope and that was our anger. But how is your hope and how is your anger?
Anyone feel brave? Want to share something that's making them hopeful? Maybe it's a group or a... Yes.
Yes.
Shall I go?
Red neckerchief. You go first.
My community around me. I got nicked by the cops a couple of weeks back. And even before I got to the station, they'd taken me off all of the confidential group chats. They took care of me outside the prison. They waited. It was amazing.
Wow.
Give me
a
cheer for community.
I won't ask what you were nicked for, but was it doing something righteous and right on? Yeah, let's give them even a bigger round of applause for being righteous and right on. Excellent.
Any more for any more? Yes.
Brilliant.
This person here.
John Bell reminding us that it's Christian to be subversive.
Ooh.
Give me a cheer for being subversive.
Excellent. Great. I love this because we get to see what kind of thoughts and constellations are happening in your festival. Person with the cap in the back.
Oh, yeah, I've learned that hope is not just a wish. I've learned at Greenbelt that hope is about being active. Yeah. And actually, I work for a union and I should be active. I should be an activist. I've really struggled with that word because it has a negative overtone. So I'm kind of going to embrace that.
Hope is a verb.
Hope is a verb. Do you want to give a shout out to your union?
Unison, I work as a schools convener. I see the injustices of, you know, if any of you are a teaching assistant, you know that in this day and age, it's not just sticking and gluing and stapling and photocopying. It's far more than that. And actually, they're still on the same wage. And actually, that's not fair. But then I see the injustices of going on in the world. And in a sense, my heart bleeds for Gaza because I cannot believe Israel, a Jewish nation that's gone through the Holocaust, can do that to other people. I just can't comprehend that.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you for your contribution. Henry Raby, I think that's enough hope and anger. It might be time for you to do your own thing.
I'm going
to
do my own thing.
So while you get ready, Henry's an only child.
Give me a cheer if you're an only child.
They joined in with a group activity. Well done. Well done. This is something Henry finds difficult. He's also a poet, so that's sort of a solo activity. So we make fun of him and say he likes to do his own thing. Usually on the podcast, we have a jingle at this point that says, he's doing his own thing in a... that man's voice. Hang on, we've got the legend here himself to do it. So you're all going to join in with, he's doing his own thing. We're going to get you to do it. Come on. I haven't prepped for this, never mind.
One, two, three.
He's doing his own thing.
Oh, you can do better than that. Three, two, one.
He's doing his own thing.
Excellent.
It's because I counted upwards instead of downwards. That's to confuse people. So I wrote this poem in the last day. Also, anyone attend Maddie Morris's workshop earlier? Songwriting workshop. So it's a little bit inspired by that. We're waking up with sore jaws. We've got tension in the bones, a tight gut like a bloke's brute fist. Because last night my broken battery brain tried to figure out a solution. Because there is poison in our communities, poison in the air, a pollution of hate in our lungs. So we sip our sugary tea in the morning and stare at our phones, scrolling for hope, an uphill trawl against an algorithm fishing for anger. And then we come across a reel of a nice greyhound. And the greyhound's doing a big stretch. Everybody say, big stretch.
Big stretch.
Anyway, back to the doom scrolling. Back to the anger. And outside the window, all the lampposts of Union Jacks dragging us back to despair. Cities celebrated with Chinese-produced red, white, and blue colours. A low bar of resistance. And the persistence of 90 years of black shirts, of NF, BNP, EDL, and today's bulldog brand. We look at the tatty flags outside on street sides in the British wind fluttering. And the hope has to be made somewhere else. The hope has to be made with caffeine and campfires, a place with low signals and a lighthouse in the dark. Thank you very much. Cheers.
I enjoyed
okay.
that.
Not We've bad. Got a special guest for you now, folks. You ready for a special guest? So alongside the wonderful Hannah who's over there, give a shout out to Hannah. Hooray! Yay! This person curates and programs the Rebel Rouser stage. Can I get it? Ooh!
Ooh!
They are an incredible musician, part of Mouses, and they're going to come and play a tune. Please welcome to stage, Steve from Mouses! Also performing as Stevie! Lots of different names. Looking funky. For listeners at home, this is a funky attire. This is like a giant knitted t-shirt with a funky elephant on. Where'd you get your fashion sense from?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know, to be honest. I've always just like, it started off, I think, by just buying the things in sales that no one else would buy and then just blossomed from there, I think.
The detritus of the sales.
Yeah,
excellent.
I think so. I think that definitely informed it.
So, Steve, where does your programming brain come from for this? What makes you hopeful? What brings you love of programming the Rebel Rouser stage?
I think it started off like between me and Hannah when we've been booking stuff throughout the years. It started off with our own festival in Teesside called Mousetival, where the aim was to just do something that wasn't being done where we lived, which was to try and like showcase bands and artists that were shouting about stuff that we sort of believed in. And we always felt that like ethics tied things together a lot more than like musical genre. And I think like you get a better sort of sense of community with that when that's what ties it together instead. And I think that just led into what this has sort of become more than anything.
I think there is such a sense of community. The people I see, been here 3 years, like people coming back again, moshing, hanging out. Lots of younger people who go, yeah, stuff on the main stage, but I'm going to go and like have a little, I'm going to do a circle pit here on the stage. It's beautiful. well, there may be a circle pit coming up. We don't know. But you're going to play us a tune. Great. So I'm going to narrate. Steve's picking up their guitar.
I think I'm here.
Oh, great.
And also, we'll take this opportunity while Steve's getting into position to thank all the programmers and everyone backstage, all the volunteers, all the sound tech people, all the volunteers that are so much work goes on to putting on a festival such as this. So can we give all of those people a massive round of applause, please?
Hello. Wonderful. I'm going to play a Mouser song now. It's called Edison. It's the first track of our newest album. And it's kind of an anti-bullying song that I wrote a long time ago.
One sick lullaby, two dead alibis. We sing hushabye, baby, when the bow breaks innocence. How bow vigilance, insignificant now. One sick lullaby, two dead alibis. We sing hushabye, baby, when the bow breaks innocence. I bow vigilance, insignificant. Oh, fuck you, well, I see you red again. Fuck you, Edison, thank you for your time. This permanently infrastructure raising hell and amazing skeletons. Oh, self-evident, exoskeleton hanging from the red shares of a culture drenched in insecurity. Just be who you wanna be. Thank you for your time. structure is in hell, a burning kerosene, a self-evident exoskeleton hanging from the branches of a culture drenched in insecurity. Be who you wanna be, I see red again. Fuck you, Edison, thank you for your time. This feminine infrastructure is in hell, a burning kerosene, a self-evident exoskeleton hanging from the branches of a culture drenched in insecurity.
Welcoming Steve back to the stage at the end of the show. So now it's time for our second guest. Henry, are you going to do the introduction?
Yeah. So our next guest comes from Gaza. Give me a cheer for the people of Palestine. Our next guest is a wonderful, beautiful human being who is currently in the UK touring, talking about the Gaza Poet Society, which they founded, which shares and platforms poetry of the people of Gaza. I feel so humble and privileged and excited to welcome to the stage Mohammed Mosa!
Ooh. There you go, Mohammed.
Hello, hello.
Sit on the musical chairs. We've done this before where we sit on either side of the guest and it's a bit intimidating because, you know, we're so scary. So yeah. Go on the end.
How are you doing today, first off? Is this your first Green Belt?
Yeah, my first time and a wonderful place and a wonderful festival. Thank you for having me.
So let's start off, Mohammed, talking about the Gaza Poets Society. Simple question. What is the Gaza Poet Society?
So I was an English literature student, unfortunately, and we were looking for a place to read and share poetry in English and in Arabic. Most of the poetry communities in Gaza would share poetry in Arabic and classical poetry of Arabic, and it was not my thing. So I was looking for a space where I could share poetry in English and in Arabic, where we could do stand-up comedy like you guys doing up here.
And that's very kind.
Are we stand-up comedians?
Or art, whatever we want to share in both languages, and the audience would be somebody like us who might enjoy these shows. I did not find that place, so I decided to create that space. And we managed to organize a few events in Gaza at that time, and it became a well-known poetry community in Gaza. So far, we had three poetry anthologies. And what else could I say?
Fantastic. You were telling us before, and I think it's completely understandable that the nature of the poetry that's coming out of Gaza since the genocide, you know, intensified 2 years ago. I would say it's been going on much longer than 2 years. The nature of the poetry has changed. Can you tell us a little bit about your reflections on that?
I agree. I think this genocide will change the Palestinian poetry coming out of Gaza forever. We found ourselves talking about famine a lot, talking about kids burning in tents, talking about death a lot. The Palestinian poetry in general was about resistance, was about exile, and identity and many other themes. You will still find these themes in the Palestinian poetry coming out of Gaza. But I think I've been editing a lot of poetry and reading a lot of poetry by the members of Gaza Poet Society. And it was all about famine, death, It was something new for us to talk about as Palestinians in Gaza. So it will be maybe a new genre of poetry.
Do you find that that community that are writing, are they a mixture of ages, genders? Are there people writing for the first time?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. We have everybody, and it is growing right now. And I think it is the main poetry community in Gaza. So more than 100 members of Gaza Poet Society we have right now.
Wow. So, and in terms of the people you're reaching, I know your poetry book arrived at our doors and we've been reading the book. It's now a good time to get the book out. Do you want to wave it?
So I bought this book online and it's got some of Muhammad's poetry in.
And I was shocked.
And I was like, I've literally never seen this book before in my life.
I published here in Scotland a poetry book called Salted Wounds. And unfortunately, it was before the genocide. So I'm going to read you today from My Death is Not a Song You Sing for from the second poetry collection by Gaza Poet Society. I'm struggling with the mic, so the mic was clear.
Do you want to do swapsy? And you publish a lot online, right? So this is like reaching an international community.
Yes.
Is that something that you were doing before, or have you found this that need to reach people?
We switched to online after COVID. Honestly, we used to hold weekly meetings. We used to host events. But I think after COVID, we switched to online books, e-books, and online events and meetings.
And it feels like we speak to a lot of different Palestinians, but it feels that at the root is being a storyteller, is to tell your story and to put it out into the world. Do you find that there is a response to these stories? Are you finding community? Are you finding solidarity, or do we need to do a lot more work in sharing these poems with the world?
Well, you have to share and you have to read and support the poets. But I think poetry was, or is a great medium to share, to talk about something like a genocide, to talk about your identity, to talk about yourself. So it was really interesting how the world would listen more when you talk to them as a poet, maybe. So I do journalism also, but, I think when I write as a poet, it does help sometimes. So I think we will continue doing what we are doing and try to produce more anthologies and introduce our work, because it is an important time to document the poetry coming out of Gaza and to share the voices of the young and or published poets in Gaza with the world in English. We do it mainly in English, you know. We have something with the Arab words, so we don't speak to them quite often.
Just on your own work, do you write mainly in English then, Ahmed, to get that message out?
We translate a lot to English and we talk in English because we don't feel like talking to the Arab world right now.
Okay. Well, I think it's about time that we hear some of this wonderful poetry.
With pleasure, but I need to hydrate if we have water.
Yeah, we have. I'm sure we have some water somewhere.
So, Mohammed, you're also on tomorrow, aren't you? Sorry, that mic.
I'm just looking for some water backstage.
We've got some water.
Oh, you've got some water. I'll come back on stage then.
No, it is water.
Really?
I was going to go to a stream and find it myself.
It would be my first drink, guys.
I want to say thank you. My death is not a song you sing. It's not a marsh for you to walk in. It's not a shirt for you to wear. With the word forget where I am from, I don't care. My stolen life is not an abandoned city besieged by a weeping sea. I can hear you singing. I can see you dancing. Remember not my name, but the names of my kids who you killed, but they were carrying my death. Or the land that you've turned into a graveyard of broken souls and mass graves. My death is not a song for you to sing. I'm not afraid of war. I do not fear war. I do not fear death. I do not fear life after war. My vernacular has abandoned me even before I can utter a single word from my injured mouth. I mustn't mourn the fallen soldiers on the field of the battle because it's useless to mourn the passing wind. Not afraid of war. I'm just afraid that my sorrow is too light to fly, that I have not lived long enough to die. To write poetry on genocide. To write poetry about a genocide, one must engage in dialogue with their cold body twice a day. Read the tongue of a flaming cities at noon when death is loud. Peel off the layers of amputated meanings before sunset when the distant angels are yet to arrive. And pick out the unseen sorrow in the quietude of mothers dwelling in graveyards on Thursday evenings. One must step on their poem twice a day and soak their poems in the blood that stains the hospital tiles. One must tread over the grave daily to write poetry about a genocide. We return, we always do. Lifeless, we return. Famished, we return. Naked and barefoot, we return. Ageless or carried on shoulders, we return. With one leg or two, we return. Crushed, we return. Peerless, we return. Hopeless, we return. Homeless, we return. Wingless, we return. Heartless, we return. Sightless, we return. Bodiless, we return. We return. We always do. This morning, I'm not ready to die again. This morning, I'm not ready to die again, to borrow the slender body of the weary sun once more, to bury a city smoking, a man dying alone. To speak the tongue of faraway birds again, to rise to a heaven I once knew, without name, home, or equal, as though newly born. To forfeit the jasmine night on the hill of Assis tomorrow, to walk away, to leave my mother without a last hold, my father without a promise, my beautiful sisters without a farewell, and to sleep forevermore. This morning, I'm not ready to die again. Salty prayer in salty summer. The sea fills my eyes with the tears of children in northern Gaza. I no longer know the language of the slaughtered seagulls or the embrace of the broken waves. I was born yesterday in a large cage. My mother could only find my name to cook. How can I grow up amidst all this destruction when I am the son of yesterday? Horses run alone at funerals, a prey with the slaughtered seagulls in summer. I walk alone without my mother, and I am my mother's son. Thank you all.
Incredible. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Can you make some more noise for Mohammed Mohsen?
Thank you.
Okay. So Mohammed, if you want to take a seat in the audience once again, we might have Mohammed back. We'll see if we have time. But we need to clear the stage.
We're going to clear the stage now and get ready for our second incredible guest. Who is he? Oh, yeah. Please put your hands together for actor, performer, someone also from Palestine who works with text and movement. It's come a long way to be with us today. We are blessed to have them perform on our stage. Please put your hands together for Fadi Murad. We'll get out your way, shall we?
For am I doomed, dear father? My fate seems to be sealed in this world that makes men wary of other men whose intentions are but humane. You have warned me of imitation, yet it seems that while my blood is still red for the love I seek, I will be the one who is outcasted. For am I blind, dear mother? I have not yet seen your touch, let alone felt it. Memories I have never experienced are passing through my body as if I were the protagonist. But this world treats me as a villain. I pray, or hope, that the blind will seek but their own vision, and that the old will seek but their own mortality, and that the great will seek but their own wisdom. For who more trustworthy than those who've lived a life worth giving? I was once 9 years old, and I was sitting in the corridor of my room, and I was on the computer searching this new thing called Facebook or whatever, and suddenly I heard some crying coming in from the kitchen, and so I went, and I saw my older brother Bashar. And he's on the phone, and he's crying, and he's crying, and he's crying. And I ask him, Shusar, what happened? And he says, a character from Desperate Housewives just died. And I was like, okay. And I went back to the corridor of my room, and I had this feeling that something was wrong. Something wasn't right. And suddenly I'm in the living room of my home, and I remember my father. He was sitting on the red couch, his arms extended like this. His head was tilted downwards. His eyes were red. They were wrinkly, and they were full of water, but he wasn't crying. And I was kind of sitting opposite the couch with my knees on the couch, and my brother was somewhere here, and there were lots of people around the room, and I'm asking, what happened? What's going on? And then someone had said that mother had just died. And my first question, the first question that I asked was, when will I see her again? And someone had said that I'd see her in the hospital the next day or something. And what I meant was I wanted to see her. To touch her, to cry to her, to feel her, to be next to her. And as a kid, I still had that hope that I would see her again. Fire, fire. feeling focused, flesh in a furnace. Flux in this forgotten form. The firmament will find me flying, forcing myself to fall forward, because backwards, I'll be sure to break my back. Borrowing blessings from bastards. Nobody but my body will embody the divine body. Focus, focus, focus. Don't find me, find me, find me. First, fire found me. Forever, I am here. Fire, fire. Feeling focused, flesh in a furnace. Flux in this forgotten form. The firmament will find me flying, forcing myself to fall forward, because backwards, I'll be sure to break my back. Borrowing blessings from bastards. Nobody but my body will embody the divine body. Focus, focus, focus. Don't find me, find me, find me. First, fire found me, forever I am here. Fire, fire, feeling focused, flesh in a furnace, flux in this forgotten form. The firmament will find me flying, forcing myself to fall forward, because backwards I'll be sure to break my back. Borrowing blessings from bastards. Nobody but my body will embody the divine body. Focus, focus, focus. Don't find me, find me, find me. First, fire found me, forever I am here. Fire, fire, feeling focused, flesh in a furnace, flux in this forgotten form. The firmament will find me flying, forcing myself to fall forward, because backwards I'll be sure to break my back. Borrowing blessings from bastards. Nobody but my body will embody the divine body. Focus, focus, focus. Don't find me, find me, find me. First, fire found me, forever I am here. Fire, fire, feeling focused, flesh in a furnace, flux in this forgotten form. The firmament will find me flying, forcing myself to fall forward, because backwards I'll be sure to break my back. Borrowing blessings from bastards. Nobody but my body will embody the divine body. Focus, focus, focus. Don't find me, find me, find me. First, fire found me, forever I'm here. Fire, fire, feeling focused, flesh in a furnace, flux in this forgotten form. The firmament will find me flying, forcing myself to fall forward, because I'll be sure to break my back. Borrowing blessings from bastards. Nobody but my body will embody the divine body. Focus, focus, focus. Don't find me, find me, find me. First, fire found me, forever I'm here. Fire, fire, feeling focused, flesh in a furnace, flux in this forgotten form. The firmament, if I'm fine, force myself to fall forward, because back is up, sure to break my back. Borrowing blessings, blessings. Nobody but my body will embody the divine body. Focus, focus, focus. Divine, fine, fine. First, fire, 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 focus, session, first, flux, gone, fire, firm, fire, fire, force myself to fall forward, because back is up, sure to break my back. Borrowing blessings, blessings. Nobody, 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 fuck, fuck, fuck. Fine, fine, fine. First, fire, 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 I'm here. Fire, fire. Feel focus. Flesh it first. Nobody but my body will embody the divine body. And so, a couple of days later, I was in my grandparents' village, and I was in this alleyway, and I remember seeing lots of people, and I turned left into my grandparents' living room, and as soon as I entered, I saw a lot of women over here and over here, and as soon as I entered, they were like, Fadia's son is here, let him through. And so I went, and I turned right, and this was the last time I saw her. She was dressed in white. Her arms were crossed like this. Her eyes were closed, and she looked very calm and peaceful. And her mother was kind of next to her head, and she was slapping her, telling her, Fadia, wake up, Fadia, wake up. And then she told me, go on, give her a kiss. And I went down, and I gave her a kiss. And then I left.
Wowee. Wowee.
That was incredible.
Thank you.
Amazing. Amazing. Pull up a chair.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to pull myself together.
Oh.
Honestly.
Can I sit in the middle?
If you want to feel intimate. Yeah, sit on here.
I thought you were going to get my chair for me then.
Bloody hell. Wow.
Right.
Thank you so much, Freddie.
Yeah.
Oh. You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
So you've just been up at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Yeah, you've been performing.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that piece?
Yeah.
Like, is it part of a larger piece presumably it's very autobiographical, but so just tell us a little bit more about the orange of this piece you've been working on.
Yeah, so in the Fringe, I created a longer piece that was about 35 minutes, and it's a combination of two works, one that was created in 2022 that you just saw, that was also cut a bit, and then the first part was introduced recently. And then another piece that was created 2023. So 2022 work was called Holding Water. And then 2023 was called Come Back Home. I don't know how much to get into the specifics, I think, because...
Please do. We like specifics.
Okay. So in the larger piece, I talk about my mother more and who she was. She had a PhD in hydrology. And she was basically working on, because water is vital in the Middle East, so between Gaza, Israel, West Bank, and Jerusalem, she was the main person to be dealing with this. Yeah. And in 2009, she passed away in a car accident. In the longer piece, there's more like footage, and my father is a musician. He also plays some music with me on stage. So I just tried to make something just a bit more smaller here for that fits the vibe.
It was incredible. Thank you so much. And I think a real first for us. Yeah, it was amazing, wasn't it? I think a real first for us and the Vandal Factory to have a performance that's involving movement as well. So we'll probably have to describe what's happening for the audio listeners underneath. So I look forward to ruining it with my descriptions of what you're doing.
Right.
What can you tell us about yourself as an artist and someone who mixes with different kinds of form? So you're working with music and text and movement, and how does it all mix together for you?
Yeah, so I come from a family of artists. My father's a musician, he's an artist. He had a band in the 1980s. It went up like for 20 years. They have 4 albums out. They're a really great band.
What are they called?
Sabrin. With a patient ones, but Sabrin in Arabic. Yeah. And my brother is also a pop singer. He actually did Greenbelt 2 years ago.
No way!
Yeah. So now I'm here.
following in his footsteps.
Yeah.
So we really should have asked you to do some, Arabic pop music. That's what you're telling
us. No, that's for my brother. That's for my brother.
Get him next time.
don't embarrass me. No, just kidding. Anyhow... I come from I studied 4 years in a performance art school where we did sound, writing, acting, light. We did everything, so I'm a bit all over the place. While I see my father, he has his oud and he's playing every day. And I'm like just always, I'm doing sometimes sound, I'm writing sometimes. I don't feel like I have a consistent practice. Maybe the consistent practice is just working every day and putting in something that kind of develops what I'm doing. And this is what I do. I think you just saw a part of it. And
Wonderful.
Can you tell us a little bit just about the arts communities that you work with, the spaces you perform in?
For sure. Yeah, so I live in Jerusalem. I graduated 2 years ago. So in the past 2 years, I've had loads of different experiences. One where I worked on a play as an actor for Ashtar Theater in Ramallah. And that was interesting. And I also had a residency in the Hakawati Theater in Jerusalem, which is the main Palestinian theater in Jerusalem. And I created a new piece. It was my first piece in Arabic, which was interesting also for me. And I do also some music videos. We just do open calls back home. That's what we do. There's not a lot of work back home, so you really need to kind of look everywhere, because the institutions are being, especially the Palestinian institutions in Jerusalem, because Israel doesn't want culture. So they don't want culture to thrive. And so they make it hard on Palestine. So my father has an association right now, nonprofit organization for art, music, and culture. And they make it really difficult for you to survive, like rent and where you get your money from. And of course, Palestinian organizations don't want to take from the Israeli municipality. Some do, and they have lots of money. And some are doing things like for kids. And so it's kind of debatable if it's right or not. But some others don't agree, don't accept any Israeli money, like my father. And so it's very difficult for you to, and the Palestinians don't have money. So what are you going to do?
I forgot what I was going to ask.
I just wondered, so if you could paint a picture of a space that you would perform in. Is there a theater that I want to go there basically.
Yeah.
I want to visit.
You have to.
But I want here to like picture like what community looks like. Is there a theater that you go, actually this is where we meet, we talk, we play music, we perform. What are those spaces for you?
Yeah, I'll talk about two spaces in Jerusalem. Sabrin, which is my father's place. It's just like a small hall. It's a home, basically, but my dad cut the wall. Like he, not cut, but like broke down the wall. Doesn't matter. Let's break down the walls. Anyhow, and it's just this larger space. And recently, I created two events back home called The Meaning of Time. They were in 2024, so under tough circumstances. Jerusalem is a bit depressed now. Economies, you have to pay, it's expensive as well, so you have to work, you have to keep going on. Anyhow, so I created an event where I invited filmmakers, musicians, and speakers to come into this evening of where people just join, and people came, students from universities, artists, architecture students, older people from all around. Yeah, so that's nice there. And then the Hakawati is in Jerusalem. Also, the theater has two spaces, the larger space, which is a 300 crowd audience. And yeah, so sometimes you have shows there. Again, the funding is really difficult, so you're not meeting daily. You're meeting monthly or every 2-3 months. That's what's unfortunate about it, yeah.
Amazing. It's the perfect example of, if anyone has any doubt if art ever changes anything, well, if it didn't do anything, then they wouldn't try and go so hard to stop it.
Right.
And in culture, if culture wasn't a threat to systems of oppression, then they wouldn't try and oppress it. And what you're speaking about is a perfect example of that.
I'll add on top of that, this is why they create separation between us. This is why they have West Bank, Gaza, Jerusalem, 48 Palestinians. They just want to separate you and they don't want you to gather. This is what we're doing now. We're gathering, we're sharing ideas, we're looking at each other, we're speaking the same language, and they don't want you to do that. So then Palestinians tend to be farther apart from each other. So you don't like West Bank Palestinians, they don't know what goes on in Jerusalem. They think it's just the whole, like Jerusalem and the 48 is just the whole blob. Like, I don't know, like, but it's true. And it's difficult. They can't come in. So what do you, they haven't seen an ocean unless they go out of the country. So it's you suffer a lot.
I was going to ask, where next for the piece, Fadi? What's the future for this performance?
I mean, this is technically the last show on the tour.
We're the finale.
We're the finale.
Give yourselves a round of applause.
maybe Greenbelt 2026 on the main stage.
Longer piece. Let's do it. I'll bring my father and brother. We'll do it like a three-person show. Yeah.
Karaoke.
But you'll do the karaoke. I have a 3-month residency in France now, so that's, I'm gonna work things out there and hopefully come back for
How's your French?
Bad.
Okay, good, great, mine too. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
You can stay here if you like. Okay, you're welcome to stay here. I'm going to do a provocation.
Do you want a mic?
Yeah, that will be helpful.
I'll get you a stand.
So, folks, I'm going to take us home by trying rounding up some thoughts. This is usually the part of the show that we call Nat's Provocation Stations. And then there's, a jingle that goes, choo-choo, pulling in to Nat's Provocation Stations. So, once again, we're all going to do that together, okay? I'm going to go choo-choo, and we're going to say, pulling in to Nat's Provocation Stations. Stations in your best radio voice. Are you ready? Yeah. Are you ready?
Excellent. Pulling in to Nat's provocation station. We'll edit it in. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Oh, did I? Oh, so sorry. Oh, so sorry. It's his fault. He's got me all muddled and emotional.
I'm going to count to three. You're going to say, Nat's provocation stations. One, two, three.
Oh, that was much better. Much better. Well done. It's my fault. It's my fault. Right. Now then. We talked a lot about hope and anger. These are two energies, and like any energy, they can burn and burn and burn out. And I don't know about you, but I think we're the first humans in a long, long line of human history that are being asked to hold the global and people suffering on the other side of the world, people we may have never met, maybe are places that we've never been to, we're being asked all the time to hold their suffering in our hearts and in our heads. And I can often feel, once my hope and my anger have burnt out, I can feel my brain bursting with the effort of trying to hold this picture in my mind. And it's important that we find places and ways of restoring that hope and our anger, because we need to keep going. And so where I find hope and anger and spaces for restoration is in my creative practice as a theatre maker, in my local community. I do lots of work with people where I live in East Leeds, where we gather together and we find ways of being creative, often in places of land. We connect to nature. It could be just a little grass of green. It could be an allotment. It could be a community cafe that's not really a cafe. It's just someone with a kettle. We find ways in which we come together and we make stuff happen. We celebrate each other. We look each other in the eye. We support one another. And this is so essential, not just for restoring your hope and anger, but this is what we're going to need to do in these increasingly growing dark times. What's happening in Palestine is bad enough that it's happening to the Palestinian people. That should be enough, and it is enough for us to be outraged. But Palestinians are a canary down a mine. We feel like we're in an abusive relationship with Trump and Putin and Netanyahu and all these increasingly powerful people who are using us like pawns. And so we have to accept where our power lies and where our power doesn't. We need to stitch the nets of our community and make sure that we are catching as many of each other as we possibly can. Because these crises are coming, they're happening now. So we can find strength in each other. And all the time when I get together with anybody, groups of people, and we share a cup of tea, we sing a song together. It's happening all over this festival as we speak. My hope is restored, and we can stitch those nets and we will be stronger together. This is this beautiful piece of research. Oh, I'm going to misquote it. It's by Brownett and Evans in 2020, for those of you that like to get these things correct. They talked about the strength of community festivals for bringing people together for overall health and well-being of a place. They talked about how it can create cynefin, which is, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's a Welsh speaking, it's a Welsh word. How do you know that? Is it an Arabic and Welsh? Cynefin? Meaning sense of place. Oh, no, not cynefin. No. Cynefin, different. Is any Welsh speakers? Cynefa. Am I saying it right? Anyway, it means sense of place or habitat. That's what community festivals can create. They create spaces for participation. They can create spaces for being together and transformation. And I think that is ever present everywhere as we walk about Greenbelt. It is beautiful to be in such a gentle and kind space with you all. So I invite you for the rest of your festival, please look out for these things. Are we finding a sense of place? Are we finding a space for participation? You've all joined in with your jingle. You did well. That's participation. Tick. Have you been together? Yep. You're all sitting together. You look pretty. You look chummy. That's nice, isn't it? And transformation. I hope that you all leave this festival feeling transformed and restored, and we can go out into the world and speak truth to power and do whatever we need to do to keep reaching out our anger and our hope and our empathy and all our rage and solidarity across the world. Thank you so much for coming and speaking to us tonight. The end! Hooray!
Is that it?
Yeah, that'll do.
Folks, thank you so much too. Mohammed Mosley!
Oh, wait. We've got 5 minutes. Oh, we can do a roundup chat.
You just did the end and went the
end. We did the end of my bit and then can we have our... Do you want to come back up? Where's Steve? And come on up, Mohammed. We'll have a 5 minute closing bit. We can all have a chat about loving each other. That'll be nice. You all want to chat about loving each other, don't you? See? I was the preamble end. Hiya.
Hello.
So, do you want to get a chair, Henry?
Yeah.
I think hello, Steve. Come on back. For those of you listening at home, We're scrambling on. You can sit at the drums if you want. There you go. Welcome back. Thank you. So I think our final closing question would be, in these darkest of dark times, what is it that keeps your cup full, and how do you find the strength to keep going and to keep believing in goodness when there is so much bad in the world? Would anyone like to take a stab at that?
Okay. I mean, when I see nice people, like the people out here, the people in Gaza would know nothing about you guys, where you are, who you are. But you're gathering here because of the Palestinians and you want to listen to them and you care about them. I think this is so beautiful. And to see people from all over the world in solidarity with Gaza and the people of Gaza, this also warms the heart. So thank you for coming out, and thank you for showing the love however you can. And thank you for all the creatives around the world who gather to create art in solidarity with Gaza and the people of Gaza. I think this warms my heart personally, and this gives me hope. And thank you, guys.
Wonderful, thank you.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think it's important to educate yourself, like to learn more. And so I that's what I do. I learned a lot. I read a lot of books during these two years because you're at home and you don't have a lot of outings so much. So you just learn and try to build something for the future. So I think hope as well, just to have hope and faith that something better will come, and in people. Although right now it seems that everyone's out to get you, and you don't know who's on your side and. So that's scary. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think, I would just say that, like, just reminding yourself that there are a lot of good people. And I think coming places like this and seeing, like, it's super obvious that, like the sense of community, and there's so many good people all in one place. And I always feel that, like, it almost feels like you're in a different world when we come to Greenbelt every year. And then when you, it's even just driving out, it's just like immediately, like, it feels a little bit like you do feel sad because it's like, it's not as obvious straight away. But I think, like, just looking for the pockets of good things that are happening and the little tiny communities that are, like, sort of peppered throughout, like, everywhere in the world, and just reminding yourself that there is hope and there is good people everywhere trying to do good things.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you. What a wonderful 3 final comments of the whole show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
Been Vandal Factory.
We've got some zines and some patches.
Please save and subscribe and tell all your friends. It means the world. We've been Vinyl Factory. You've been Henry Raby. I've been Natalie Quatermass. You lot have been you lot.
Steve's going to finish.
Oh, yeah, you're going to That's the second false ending that I've done. I'm just
keep
desperate.
Tricking you. You never know when we're going to end. This is a four-hour show.
I'm so sorry.
While Steve gets their guitar, please make some noise for Mohamed Mosa. Fadi Murad. We'll edit it, don't worry. And when you listen back, you'll be like, this is seamless.
Seamless.
There's no seams.
Nat didn't try and end the show twice before it was
the
over.
Seams. I can't see a single seam.
Shut up, sit down.
Mohammed's also on tomorrow at the Canopy Stage at 11:15. So go and hear more from that. And Steve's performing later at 5:45. 5:15. So if you turn up at 5:45, you'll be late and you'll be booed and we'll hate you. Lovely stuff. We've been Vinyl Factory. Make some noise for Steve from Mosa.
Well, thank you very much for having me part of this. It's been an incredible show. So yeah, thank you very much. This song's called Huckleberry.
Tilt my hat and I'm Huckleberry Finn. A moral epithet to deconstruct the system. Context isn't everything. 'Cause I object with my opposition. The colored lies are a matter of denial. The past instills a natural selection. And chalk it up to violent tendencies. We're all the same in the eyes of Mother Nature. She doesn't know how to segregate the world. Well, I won't pretend to understand the feeling, but I should know my worth. As blood drips down the fore shaft of every manly and I'm holding on to hope for every ill impression fool. While the river's running wider than you know.
Thank you. Now it's definitely the end now, isn't it? It's definitely the end.
Thanks so much for listening to this recorded talk. Explore our full Greenbelt Festival Talks archive with almost 20 years of recorded talks and podcasts for free at greenbelt.org.uk/talks.